I titled this message, A Successful Marriage. And as some of you might have heard, those of you who are visiting Facebook and are on WhatsApp, and I include those who might be listening in actually from overseas, today my wife and I are celebrating our 38th anniversary. 38 years today. Now, Joanna was commenting this morning. She said, where did the time go? Where did it go? And some have posted old pictures of us, you know, when we were just getting married. These pictures don't look anything like how we look today. But, you know, I'd like to thank all of you who have written in and have sent us their greetings and their, you know, comments, and so I like to do this way. I entitled it The Successful Marriage because I didn't entitle it Happy Marriage, because it wasn't always happy. I don't know of any marriage which is always happy. I don't know of any marriage which has never had any complications. I don't know that we have always been in total agreement, but it has been a successful marriage in that it didn't fail, because we're still married. And this marriage will endure until death. Now, hopefully, we will still experience, both of us, the return of Christ in this lifetime. But if that is not the case, we pray, and we have been talking about this quite a bit, that we will experience death together. I cannot imagine having to live on when, let's say, Joanna should die, and I think vice versa. One thing we have learned, I believe, is to think more and more alike. Now, I really don't want to talk too much, though, about physical marriage, because otherwise my wife will get a big head for having endured for 38 years with a complicated guy like I am. So I want to talk about the fact that physical marriage is a copy or a pattern of a spiritual marriage. And I'm talking about the marriage with Jesus Christ. Now, if we have God's Spirit living within us, we are already married to Christ. Now, the marriage hasn't been consummated yet, we understand that, but we are already called in the Bible husband and wife. Christ is our husband, and we are his wife. God hates physical divorce. You read that in Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. Because he even hates more spiritual divorce. He hates it. When our marriage agreement with Christ breaks apart. And rather than thinking of divorce, and I'm speaking now in spiritual terms, we must grow together more and more. This is true in the physical realm, of course, but even more so in the spiritual realm. We are to become more and more like our Father, like Jesus Christ. We are to think more and more like they think. We are to acquire the mind of Christ. We are to increase and grow in the knowledge of Christ. God the Father's Spirit and the Spirit of Jesus Christ are to dwell in us. And that includes basic prophetic understanding. If we have a successful marriage with Christ, we will have basic prophetic understanding. Notice Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. Revelation 19 and verse 10. Because here's an episode where John was so overwhelmed by what an angel told him that it says, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. As I said, we have to have a basic prophetic understanding. And this is not something we come up with based on our own mind, our own ideas. Because notice in 2 Peter chapter 1 how prophecy, prophetic understanding comes about. If it is true, prophetic understanding. 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 21. He says, prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved or inspired by the Holy Spirit. Now, this doesn't mean that we all have to be prophets, but it means understanding the signs of the time in the light of biblical prophecy is required. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 2, a scripture you might want to turn to later, it talks about the gift of prophecy. Now some have, perhaps more so than others, a gift of prophecy, a gift of prophetic understanding. But that all by itself means nothing if the most important ingredient, love, is lacking. Paul is saying, you know, if I have the gift of prophecy, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. But we mustn't make the mistake that we, because of that, despise prophecy. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20 tells you, don't despise prophecy. Don't neglect it. Don't ignore it. There's a problem. The problem is that there are so many false prophecies which are being proclaimed, even within the churches of God. And because of that, people become confused. Don't know anymore what really to believe. Some may think they prophesy in the name of God, but they don't. Notice a warning in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22. What is Christ saying here? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness, who practice the transgression of the law. Now they thought they had prophesied in Christ's name. They thought they had done many wonders in Christ's name. They thought they had cast out demons. But they really hadn't. Christ never knew them. Christ never gave them the power to really do that. They were apparently false prophets, preaching false things. We in God's church must never do that. Unfortunately, if I go back several years, lots of false prophecies have been proclaimed. And we must be very careful that we don't fall for them. We are not to say that Christ is going to come back at a particular year. Some said, oh, Christ will come back in 2017, give or take 1 or 2 years. Some say there will be a 7-year contract. First between the Jews and the beast, or between the Arabs and the beast, or between the Arabs and the Jews and the beast. And after 3.5 years, that contract will be broken, and then the Great Tribulation will start. The Bible does not teach that. Some say, have said, that the Church of God will unite, all the churches of God will unite under a leader before the Great Tribulation begins. According to that quote-unquote prophecy, that unification should already have occurred. The Bible doesn't say that. Some say we are already within the great tribulation. The seven thunders have already thundered. The Bible clearly doesn't teach that. Some say there will not be a falling away from the truth within the church of God. The Bible clearly teaches the opposite. There is going to be a falling away from the truth within the church of God before Christ returns. Someday we will go to heaven when Christ returns so that we can keep the marriage supper with him in heaven. The Bible does not teach that. Someday the beast is such and such person. Now over the years I've heard all kinds of proclamations as to who or what the beast is. Now it's not wrong to speculate and to think in terms of, well, could this individual perhaps qualify for that position. But it's absolutely wrong to make a dogmatic statement, which I have heard made in the churches of God. Some organizations said, oh, Mr. Gutenberg, the former foreign minister of Germany, he is, dogmatically, he is the beast that has been proclaimed. Some look at the beast at all the wrong places. They say, oh, it could be somebody from Italy, could be somebody from France, could be somebody from Netherlands. Somebody wrote an article saying Mr. So-and-so from Netherlands might very well be the beast. And I said, no, he can't. Why not? Because the Bible teaches very clearly that the beast has to be of Austrian or German descent. And he has to be a man. So it couldn't be a woman either. So you have to look at the right places, otherwise you get totally confused. What about the King of the South? Now, first of all, following Mr. Armstrong's teachings, there is no requirement that there still has to be a King of the South. Because according to Mr. Armstrong, these prophecies in Daniel have been fulfilled. But it's possible that those prophecies were dual. And so that there is still another King of the South. And I've heard all kinds of explanations as to who that King of the South allegedly was or is. Saddam Hussein of Iraq, Osama bin Laden, Mr. Gaddafi from Libya, ISIS, or a confederacy of Arab nations under Egypt. These are all statements which have been made. Well, the Bible makes it very clear, and history makes it very clear, that it cannot be a confederacy of Arab nations under Egypt. That is not at all what the Bible would allow, even if there were a king of the South. So another false prophecy is being circulated. I've heard the prophecy circulated that the woman riding the beast is America riding Europe. These are all things which were stated within the churches of God. Or that the mark of the beast is a microchip. When you surf the internet, you'll find that more and more people believe that the Antichrist, even though that word is not even used, but they mean the beast, comes out of Islam, which is totally false. But I know of church members who believe that already. Now, I'm not aware of any church organization teaching this yet, but some church members do. They are totally, hopelessly confused. You see, with these kind of wrong ideas, you cannot have a successful marriage with Christ. It is not possible. We are not supposed to be those who are being tossed to and fro with every wind of prophetic teaching, doctrine, speculation. Christ walks hand in hand with his people. And we are supposed to walk hand in hand with Christ. And two cannot walk together unless they are agreed. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. And we must agree with Christ. as to what he says, as to what he reveals, insofar as prophecy is concerned. Let's turn to Amos chapter 3. And let's look at verse 6. Amos chapter 3 and verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? But they can only prophesy what God has spoken, if they are true servants of God. You go to the internet, you find all kinds of conspiracy theories, all kinds of weird and strange and odd ideas, and people begin to fall for this kind of nonsense. They're not close enough to God. Their marriage with Christ isn't that close. Notice Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 26. It says, God confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. Those who are of God will say things in accordance with biblical scripture, which then will be confirmed by God, if what they are saying is true. Now, it's difficult sometimes to say these things because you could immediately be accused of blowing your own horn. But I do want to say a few things. I remember Mr. Armstrong mentioned when Germany was down and out after World War II, was in rubbles. And he said, Germany will rise again. Nobody seemed to believe that at the time. When the Berlin Wall was built, he said, the Berlin Wall will come down again. Germany will reunite. And people scoffed at him because they didn't believe it. But Mr. Armstrong taught what was based on Scripture. He understood that Germany will be the dominant country in Europe, bringing about the last revival of the ancient Roman Empire. Recently, when there was this euro crisis, and it appeared to some that the euro would fail, church organizations taught that. They taught the euro will fail, will break apart, the EU will break apart, and then the countries will go back to their national currencies. And then 10 nations or groups of nations will arise. We have said dogmatically from the outset, the euro will not fail. We have said that out of the EU member states, 10 euro nations or groups of nations will develop. As I said, others have said the opposite. But now, suddenly, they are beginning to agree with us. But not completely. Not completely. Because they are still wrong on other points, as I will show you now. We have published a Standing Watch program this week on the Charlemagne Prize, which was given to Pope Francis. But in this program, we also talked about some interesting comments Mr. David Cameron made. And referring back to an article by The Mirror of May 9, where he said that if England, the UK, should leave the EU, this would trigger World War III. And I thought this was rather interesting. I didn't think that he really knew what he was talking about. But if you later look at John chapter 11, verses 49 to 53, you will find that sometimes God will inspire people to say something, even though they themselves don't even know what they are saying. And so, if there is a Brexit in June, and I say if, this could very well trigger, ultimately, World War III. The reason I'm saying this is because those 10 nations or groups of nations which will come together will not include the UK. And we also know that a war will break out between those nations and the UK. And, by the way, the United States of America, which the Bible identifies as the Great Tribulation. So last night, I saw this write-up by another church organization, which I will not name, and that's what they wrote. Sobering rhetoric is also circulating that should Britain choose to leave the EU, the prospect of war in Europe will become more likely. It says Bible prophecies have long referred to an end-time iron and clay configuration in Europe, composed of 10 kings or nations, which suggests that the 28-member EU will downsize. Now, that's brand new by this organization, because before they said the opposite. But notice this. They go on to say, while another war in Europe will not happen immediately, Bible prophecy reveals that some type of major struggle will occur in Europe's future, resulting in Britain and other nations being taken into national captivity. Now, I had to read that several times before I concluded I've never read such nonsense before in my life. I mean, listen to this. No war will happen in Europe immediately, but a major struggle which will lead to Britain going into hostility in captivity? I mean, how do you put this together? A total lack of soundness. Couldn't believe this. I couldn't believe something like that would be published. Now, we know a Brexit will occur. I'm not going to tell you here from the pulpit as to whether it's going to occur in June. I have a preference, but I'm not going to say anything dogmatically on that. But we have said from the outset, and the outset I mean when Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the American presidency. And you can check up on us if you don't believe it. We have said from the outset that Donald Trump very well may become the nomination of the Republican Party. He said that at a time when nobody seemed to believe that, when everybody seemed to be saying, no, well, of course, he is just a joke, and he's going to be gone within a month. And we have also been saying that it is likely, if not very likely, that he is going to become the next American president. Now, we will see what comes true. Either way, if he is not the one, it's going to be, in all likelihood, Hillary Clinton. Either way, according to biblical prophecy, both candidates will contribute to the absolute downfall of the United States of America. Why do I say that? Because if it is Mr. Trump, which appears more and more likely, the world will hate us more than ever before. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying based on the Bible. We read in the Bible that the wife has made herself ready when Christ returns. The wife will have required more and more the mind of Christ, which includes the spirit of prophecy. And God's true church will be able to pronounce ahead of time what will come to pass. Look at the track record. Compare. Who has been constantly wrong just about all the time? And who has been basically right? And then watch how it will continue. Rather than looking at numbers, rather than looking at signs or miracles, look at where God's word, including his prophetic word, is being proclaimed. And see where you can find a successful marriage between Christ and God's people.